Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me today's sermon title? Who is to blame? Based on our gospel reading from Luke 13, listen to just verse 3. Jesus said, "No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." In late 2002, a man named Caesar Barber actually filed lawsuits against major fast food chains, McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, and Kentucky Fried Chicken. Mr. Barber claims they sold him the food that made him overweight to the point of becoming obese, and they should be held accountable for wrecking his health and his life. A young man named Gregory Rimes and 8 other young people from New York City filed a separate lawsuit against McDonald's. According to an article in a magazine called Capitalism Magazine, their lawyer said, quote, "People today are too dumb to know what's good for them." This article went on to say that McDonald's has an obligation to make sure people know their food is unhealthy. Then it referred, this is my favorite part of the story, to a woman named Stella Liebeck. Ms. Liebeck sued McDonald's because she burnt the inside of the thighs on her legs from her hot coffee as she tried to pull the lid off her coffee while driving her car. Her lawsuit says it was McDonald's fault because the coffee was too hot. Because of such, "it's not my fault, it's somebody else's fault" lawsuits, in the USA, where else, and I can pick on that because that's where I come from, in the USA, lawmakers brought a bill to the American Congress. A bill is a new law that it's hoped to be introduced into the legal system. The bill was called, humorously, the Cheeseburger Bill. Now, it didn't pass or become a fully binding law, probably because how ridiculous the issue is. But the principle is a good one, and it's common sense. People should take responsibility for their own actions. We cannot keep blaming others for the choices that we make. Now, this is actually an idea that's found in Holy Scripture. Listen to Ezekiel 18. "What do you mean by using this proverb in the land of Israel, saying, 'The fathers eat sour grapes, so the children's teeth are set on edge'? As I live, declares the Lord God, you are surely not going to use this proverb anymore. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins shall surely die." What the passage is saying is this: a child can't blame their parents for all the bad things they do. A person can't shift the blame to somebody else for the bad choices they make. God expects us as His people to take responsibility for our own actions. Now, Jesus says much the same thing in our gospel from Luke 13 today. And in the Christian church, we are smack in the middle of the season of Lent. The theme of Lent tells us the same thing. We have sinned. We need to repent. We can't blame everything on others. It's time to take personal responsibility and to ask God for forgiveness. Let's take a look again to what Jesus said in Luke 13. There were some present that day who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate has mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all others because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will likewise perish." Or how about those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them? "Do you think they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you," said Jesus. "But unless you repent, you will also likewise perish." Some bad things had happened where Jesus was. A political leader working for the enemy Roman government put some people to death, Jewish people who were worshiping. In fact, he was the same politician who gave the okay to Jesus' crucifixion, Pilate. But not long after that, a stone tower evidently collapsed and killed a number of people. And in response to both of these events, the people commonly said, "Well, what about those people who were killed? Boy, oh boy, they must have done something awful bad to deserve that. They sure must be worse sinners than me. I'm glad that I'm not at fault." Did you hear that in the children's message? And Jesus' response? Jesus' response to people who easily flound the blame on others who were suffering? Two times in five verses, Jesus says the same thing. "No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish." Jesus is telling us and telling them, when bad things happen in life to other people, don't waste time blaming others or congratulating yourself for escaping troubles. Instead, Jesus says, when we hear of such tragedies in the world and other people's lives, let such tragedies remind you of your own sin and your own need to repent and to get right with God. Tragedy should lead us to repentance and taking personal responsibility for our own sins and seeking God's mercy and not seeking somebody else to blame. Jesus requires us in this text to face the truth about ourselves. We are sinners. We are responsible for the bad choices we make. He may have had that passage from Ezekiel 18 in mind where the prophet said, "The soul that sins shall surely die." Yet we continue to find blame and to put fault anywhere except in ourselves. The fast food restaurant made me eat their cheeseburger and get overweight. The coffee they served was too hot and it burnt my legs. The fathers ate sour grapes and so the children's teeth are set on edge. Or those people killed by Pilate. Or by the falling tower, they must have been at fault, but not me. While his listeners wanted to point to other people, Jesus pointed to repentance. It's as if he's saying, your responsibility is not to find others to blame. Your responsibility is simply to repent. What God calls for is repentance. Have you noticed your sermon outline this morning? What God calls for is repentance. A 180 degrees turnaround. That's what repentance means. I was going in one direction and now I go the complete opposite direction. He wants us to turn from our sin and to turn back to Him. The season of Lent in the church year is the time to repent, to turn, to return to our Lord. God wants us to come back to Him. And if we don't, and if a friend or loved one you know does not, Here's some good news this morning. God will be patient because God is a God of second chances. Now listen again to the second part of the gospel reading. After this one we just had, then Jesus tells a parable that illustrates to sinners like you and me, God is a God of second chances. And Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on that tree, and he found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this tree. I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? But the vine dresser answered him, sir, let it alone just this year also, until I dig around it, put manure on it. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if it doesn't, then you can cut it down. It's a simple parable, Jesus tells, but a very important one for all of us. The owner of a fruit orchard had a fig tree that wasn't bearing any fruit. He commands his servant to cut it down. It shouldn't even waste the ground it's been planted in. But instead, the servant pleads for mercy for this tree. And he promises he will tend to this tree, give it special care so it can bear fruit. So then the owner relents from destroying the tree, all because of the servant who protected the tree and pled for a second chance. When Almighty God calls us to bear the fruit of repentance, He expects repentance. Our sin and our fruitlessness is serious business. He has every right to bring down His righteous judgment upon us and to cut down the tree. The text from Ezekiel said, the soul that sins shall surely die. And if we got what we deserve due to our sin, if we got what we deserve due to our rebellion and lack of repentance, we would get God's judgment. But a servant comes to our rescue. The servant is our dear Lord Jesus Christ. He puts himself between our sin and God's judgment. He pleads for us. And because of his interceding for us, we do not get what we deserve, God's judgment of penalty and death. But Jesus does even more than plead for us. He takes our punishment for us. 2 Corinthians, look at your outline. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This means that a holy, righteous, sinless Jesus took upon himself our sin, took upon God's judgment for our sin, died for our sin, and in exchange we received his holiness and his righteousness. Wow! That's quite an exchange. And we certainly got the best part of that deal. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Hung in a tree is a biblical expression for crucifixion on a wooden cross. This passage tells us that Jesus allowed himself to be cursed of God to pay for the sins that we committed. In response to this, we should cry out that common cry of young people and teenagers, it's not fair. How often have you ever heard a young person say, it's not fair? When we look at the cross, we should cry out, it's not fair. It's not fair. It's mercy. And there's a big difference. If it would be just fair, then we would get what we deserve for our sins and offenses. But instead, Jesus took our punishment. For him, it was not fair. For us, it's mercy. If you've ever heard somebody say these words, and I'm sure you have, when bad things happen, God is not fair. Isn't that curious, by the way, in our sinful world? When things go well, we say this, boy, I sure deserve that. That's how you get hair like this, by patting yourself on the head too often. Ron Harrington can attest. But isn't it curious when bad things happen, we blame God. Good things happen, it's my credit. Bad things happen, why'd you do it? God. I'm sure you've heard people say, you know what, Christian? God is not fair. You can respond, you're right. God is not fair. He's merciful. There's a big difference. And that's good news for sinners like you and me. Romans 5 puts it this way. You see, at just the right time, when we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow, did you catch it? Here we go again. Jesus, the perfect, sinless servant of his heavenly Father, died for our sins. We were helpless. He came to help. We were lost sinners. He came to seek and save those who were lost. What do we say in response to a Savior like that? Look at the very end of your sermon outline, please. What do we say in response to a Savior like that? Well, first of all, we repent of our own sins. Next, we take personal responsibility and don't put the blame on others. Third, we thank God for his mercy to sinners like us, the mercy that he gives us freely in Jesus Christ our Lord. And next, we show mercy and give forgiveness to other sinners, always bringing them with us to the cross of Jesus. And finally, we declare with the psalmist who says, we give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. There's no need to play the blame game anymore. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.